Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager joins us. He has just been inducted into the Nevada Press Association Hall of Fame, and we are so proud he's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are excited to have Mr. Ray Hager here in studio. He's been a reporter now for many years for Nevada Newsmakers, and before that, the Reno Gazette Journal, and a long career even prior to that. Just inducted into the Nevada Press Association Hall of Fame, and I can't think of anybody more deserving.
Well, thank you, Sam. I was quite overwhelmed when I got the call that I had made it, but you know, Warren LaRue nominated me, and since he, you know, is a former Pulitzer Prize winner, I felt pretty good if he went to bat for me like that. And he also, you know, went to bat for me when I was like 23, because he was the guy who hired me at the former Nevada State Journal Reno Evening Gazette, which turned into the Reno Gazette Journal. And that was 1978. And I remember I had covered the governor's dinner at the governor's mansion. It's a annual fundraiser for University of Nevada Athletics. And when I was going home, I was getting stopped to get some gas, and Warren was pumping gas at the same place. And I went up and I introduced myself to him, and I said, "You should hire me. I would be really good. Really enthusiastic, a hard worker." And he goes, "Well, wait a minute, who are you?" You know, but through that, I got an interview with him, and he was the one that hired me back in 1978. And I just feel so blessed that he would even nominate me for the Hall of Fame. But here we are, and you know, I owe a lot to Warren LaRue, that's for sure.
Well, and I think there's an awful lot of Nevada journalists that can say the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to delve back into a little history here.
Sure, Sam.
Okay, because you're a local kid, you're a Sparks kid. Your dad passed away before you were born.
And 5 months in a B-47 crash.
And for people who are friends with you on Facebook, you memorialize that every year. And You had a rough time growing up. I mean, especially in school. Can you share a little bit about
what it was like?
Maybe you didn't have the rough time, but maybe some of the people around you did.
Well, I did have to go to Catholic Reform School in eighth grade.
That's kind of what I was hinting at there.
It was called Glendale Academy. And, you know, I just think it would be what I've thought about doing for many years is going back and finding the kids who I went to Glendale Academy with and see how that impacted their lives. Because the school, corporal punishment was a daily rite. You know, it's not like schools today. And the diocese, matter of fact, had to shut it down after 3 years just because the punishments, it was the Brothers of the Holy Rosary would give to the kids were kind of, well, you know, crazy for the 60s, but today they'd seem real brutal. But it helped me, you know, it helped me to straighten up. And other than that, you know, I didn't have a dad growing up because he died before I was born. My mom, God bless her, raised my brother and myself, brother and me by herself. And I think she did a pretty good job. She was a wonderful mother and a strong member of the business community. She was the first bank officer in the Reno Sparks area back in the 60s. And that was tough for a woman to move up the ladder in business back then.
So when and how did the idea of being in journalism come about?
Well, yeah, it was when I was at Minogue, and I wanted to be a sports writer.
Why?
And, well, because I really love sports. It meant so much to me, and I knew I wasn't going to be in the, you know, pro football or anything like that. So it was a way where I could love what I did. And I started at the Nevada State Journal when I was a senior in high school. I would go down there and I would answer the phone, and if some small thing had to be written up, I would knock that out. But I usually just kept the phone off of the backs of the other guys in the office because they were really busy putting the paper out, and it was a great thing. They'd call me up. I'd start at 9 o'clock at night. So I got out of the house and I told my mom I won't be home until 1 a.m, you know. So it was a great job for a kid.
Yeah, that was a perfect situation. And at that point, did you think it was going to turn into a career?
Yes, I wanted to be a sports writer. Or I was going to be a football coach, and I coached a couple years at Minogue when I was in college. But then I decided, well, what do I want to do? I think I'll go with the journalism, and that's what I did. And you know, 45 years later, here we are today.
You know, back then, as you mentioned earlier, you had a morning paper in Reno and an evening paper in Reno. And they were both successful. Does it kind of shock you a little that we don't have a morning and an evening paper or a couple of dueling morning papers still going on in Northern Nevada area has grown so much? And
yeah, but you know, the days of having, number one, days of having two newspapers in a town are about over. There's just not enough advertising revenue, and there's not enough readership to make two papers profitable. And this was a thing that has been going on since I'd say the late 1970s. Yeah, I mean, look at Dallas, Texas has one newspaper. Really, San Francisco has one newspaper. Seattle, everything has gone to one newspaper now. And then you talk about the evening papers. Well, the evening papers went out of business because of television. Because, you know, instead of coming home from work and sitting down to your evening paper, well, you came home from work and turned on the TV for the 5 o'clock, six o'clock news. And the morning papers really got a lift because people wanted new, fresh news every morning. And for a large portion, there weren't the TV news shows on in the morning. They do have them now, but not back then.
So you didn't just stay in Reno. So you start your sports writing career. Where did you head first?
Well, I first started at the Gardnerville Record Courier, and then I went to the Sparks Tribune, and then I went to the Reno Gazette Journal, and it was about 1987, I got an offer to become the sports editor for the El Paso Times. And El Paso is the fourth largest city in Texas, and it was huge compared to Reno. And sports was so important to the community. I went there, and I was there for 6 or 7 years, and then I came back to Reno to be the sports editor at the Reno Gazette Journal. And it's funny is that here I devoted my whole life to sports, and I came back, and Raleigh Melton, of course, a venerable newspaper man in his own right, he took me out to breakfast as soon as I came back, and he said, "Ray, what you got to do? You got to get out of sports." And I go, "I just came back to be the sports editor." He goes, "I know, but as soon as you can, get out of sports." So I was the sports editor for 7 years. I had felt that I had, kept my part of the bargain because they hired me as a sports editor. And after that, I moved to become the bureau chief for the Carson Douglas bureau that we had back then. And then lo and behold, in 2002, there was a special session of the legislature and nobody wanted to cover it. And so I was the bureau chief, and so I covered it. And from there, they moved me to the political beat, and some years I covered politics, other years I covered education or gaming, but it was always always political in nature. And here I am today.
So what did you learn from covering sports that helped you to cover all these other areas? Because I think that that's something that's very intriguing to me personally, is that in television news, sports and weather are their own unique little part of the organization. And they have the ability to look at the other parts of the organization and see where things could be done better. Did you have that kind of push from your knowledge of covering sports to bring it into other areas like education and gaming and of course, politics?
Well, actually, coming from sports was a detriment to me, Sam, is because people, when I came over to news and when I got the politics beat, people were aghast. It says, "You can't give that to Ray. He's just been in sports. That's all he knows is sports." And I had a city editor who had a kind of a, he didn't think I was going to be any good because, he's a sports guy. How's he going to cover politics? I'll tell you, it was a very steep learning curve, very steep. It was the steepest learning curve that I've ever had in my life. And the first couple of years were very tough. And what made them tougher was my first legislature was 2003, which had to be, it was the longest legislative session of this century, and it was very tough all the way around. Everybody left, and they were all mad at each other. The people were mad at the governor or the majority leader. It was just it was a real tough session for anyone who had gone through it.
Well, and that was the point where I started, because as most people know, I am not a big sports fan. I've gotten to be more of one in the last few years. I started reading your political coverage, and I thought, man, this is somebody I'd love to get onto Nevada Newsmakers, and maybe I can drag you in as a co-host. And that resulted in what's been a very, very fruitful partnership between us over all these years.
Yeah, we've been going steady since, huh, Sam?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't appear on the show anymore, but I do a lot of news writing, which I really enjoy. But that 03 session, I was fired from the political beat after that. I had a run-in with an editor, and just there were some extenuating circumstances, and it was really the toughest part of my career was when they told me they're pulling me off the political beat. I just felt so terrible. But then you came and asked me to help you out with Nevada Newsmakers, and it really did a lot for my psyche that, wow, I'm still in the game, and I got a new challenge here to go on TV, and it worked out great.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it was one of the biggest benefits I can even think of for Nevada newsmakers to have you and your credibility be on the program. For those that may not be aware of this, and I'm sure it's most of the people are not aware of this, you and I collaborate a lot off the air. And beyond just discussions, for example, when I do my annual trips to D.C., you do a tremendous amount of research for me that I take with me to D.C., and I'm able to formulate better questions and dig into things more because of all the work you do. I mean, when you do an interview, I mean, you are fastidious in putting together questions and covering every possible base. I mean, it's really remarkable, and it's not just 18 minutes on TV. It's a lot of hours of work to go into it.
You know, that I love doing the research to come up with the good questions. And I remember one time when we were on the air together, I had done all this research into Kim Wallen, who was the controller, Nevada State Controller at the time, and I found out that there was a lawsuit against her in her office filed by an Army veteran. He was a military veteran. I'm pretty sure it was the Army. And then when we asked her about it, it was like, you know, God bless her, it was like we dropped an anvil on her head because she did not expect that at all. And I felt sorry for her because she wasn't ready to answer that. But it was a good question, and it just goes back to the point where I really like to do the research on the questions.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I've always loved the fact, I don't consider myself to be a tough guy when it comes to asking questions. I like to listen to what people say and respond to it, and if necessary, then sometimes you have to be a little tougher than you might want to be. You have never been scared to ask any question. You are fearless.
Well, I remember a show we did with Robert Maxson, who was the former UNLV president, and he was the UNLV president when UNLV got rid of Hall of Fame coach Jerry Tarkanian. And we really were aggressive in the questioning with him, and I don't think he appreciated it, and I don't think he's been back on Newsmakers since.
No, he was president of Sierra Nevada College at the time. And he and his PR person didn't leave in a very happy mode. Let's take a break. We'll come back much more with the Press Association Hall of Famer, Ray Hager, after this timeout.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, I'm going to have to treat him with a lot more respect these days because Ray Hager, our reporter for Nevada Newsmakers, is now been inducted into the Nevada Press Association Hall of Fame and well-deserved. I want to go back to that 2003 era of the legislature because there were some wonderful characters there. The Bill Raggios, the Joe Deanies, the Randolph Townsends. Share a little about who these people were and what they brought to the table.
Well, back in 2003, what we had at the legislature were statesmen and stateswomen that really knew what they were doing. There was no term limits back then, although they had been voted in, but they hadn't gone into effect yet. And you had some very powerful people in the legislature that were very powerful because they had been there for 25 years or so, or a long time. I mean, the Senate was like all stars. We had Bill Raggio, Randolph Townsend, Dina Titus. She was the minority leader. She was tough and she was smart. Terry Kerr, Mark Amaday was there. It was really a star-studded Senate. And the same with, you had Barbara Buckley and you had, Debbie Smith wasn't there in 03, if I recall, but you had Sheila Leslie. You had a lot of people who were very good legislators. And they were a part of that is because they'd know the ins and outs of the state so well because they had been there for so long. And now, you have a 12-year run before your term limited out. And gosh, that's when people are just, beginning to understand everything in a holistic form of state government. And we just don't have the statesmen and the stateswomen anymore. Although some people might disagree, but it's hard to match a Bill Raggio. It's hard to match a Joe Deeney. It's hard to match a Barbara Buckley or a Sheila Leslie. Those people were sharp and they knew what they were doing and they really served their constituency.
More with our Hall of Famer, Ray Hager, after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with our reporter for Nevada Newsmakers, Ray Hager, who just got inducted into the Nevada Press Association Hall of Fame, which, trust me, is a big deal. Not everybody gets in there. You got to end this with the Billy Martin story.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to 1978. I'd been hired at the Gazette Journal maybe 5 months before that. And so as a reward, the Billy Martin, who was the manager of the New York Yankees at the time, was coming to Reno to open up for the first game of the Reno Bighorns. He was an old friend of the coach, Bill Musselman. And so Billy Martin came out to Reno, and it was a big deal because Reno was a smaller town, and Billy Martin, as the manager of the New York Yankees, that was like America's team back then. And so I went up, I met him, and I went up to him, and Sam, he was just so drunk. He was so drunk. And he was so drunk, I called the office and said, hey, this guy's really hammered. Do you want me to interview him? And they go, well, heck yes. How many times has the manager of the New York Yankees come to Reno? So I hung up the phone, and I found him in a bar that was across the foyer at the convention center. And I started asking some questions, and he was just getting more ticked off. And then he went into a tirade about all the bums that are sports writers. And I was writing that down, and I think he, well, I wasn't writing that down because I was a slow writer. I was on the what he had said maybe a minute ago, and he tried to grab my notes, and I put them behind my back. And next thing I knew, he punched me in the face. He punched me in the face a couple of times. Oh my goodness, it was a long ordeal for me to deal with that. Eventually he came back to Reno and apologized, and I got a little bit of money for it. The money, I was kind of stupid. I wanted the apology more than I wanted the money. I was too young to realize a lot of things. But I had to live with that for the rest of my life, that Billy Martin beat the crap out of me in Reno, and it was it was quite an ordeal.
Yeah. Well, you survived it, and you have been such a big part of this program and continue to be, and we love you, and we're so thrilled that you are now officially in the Nevada Press Association Hall of Fame. Congratulations, and please, many more years for you and I to work together.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny!
Dad?
Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.